Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so we're coming off the Rangers series where the Yankees won 2 out of 3. It was a little close for our liking. I'm sure we'll talk all about it. As far as outside of the Yankees news, we didn't really have a whole lot for this week. Nothing super notable happened. Like, obviously stuff happened around the MLB, but this is a Yankees podcast, so we like to just talk about some of, like, the really big things that happen. And, like, nothing really that special happened this weekend. So we'll mainly just be talking about the Yankees today. Let's jump right into Game 1, which was supposed to be... I was going to say that game one was supposed to be Friday night.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The last time we played was on Wednesday, and then we were kind of sad that, you know, we don't have that Thursday game. You know, you never know what to do with yourself whenever there's an off day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's get ready for, you know, Friday and just play a game. Did not happen. New York was just raining all day. It was just wet. Couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and we were like, okay, well, now we have a doubleheader to look forward to on Sunday. We got the game on Saturday. We're okay. And then we get to Saturday, and the rain didn't stop, and they canceled Saturday's game. So now we're 3 days without Yankees baseball. We're playing a doubleheader on Sunday. We have a game on Monday now, which was a day off, and we're playing 23 games in 22 days. So we came into Sunday with 3 days of rest, but... with that comes the players knowing they're about to play 23 games in 22 days.
Yeah, so not ideal. You know, I guess you get a little bit of a rest beforehand, but this is a tough stretch. No off days, so they just got to push through.
Yeah, so now hopping into the actual game, we had Gerrit Cole on the mound for this one, so... I mean, coming into it, it's Gerrit Cole versus Dane Dunning.
It was Mother's Day as well.
Yeah. I think everyone expected the Yankees to win this one because of the obvious pitching advantage on top of the fact that the Yankees have the better offense. But in typical fashion, against the bad pitcher, the Yankees decide to score just about no runs. But looking at Gerrit Cole's start, I mean, he looked... pretty much like Gerrit Cole. Like, there were some at-bats where his control could have been a bit better. He only had one walk, but there were a lot of 3-2 counts, a lot of 2-2 counts, a lot of at-bats that went for more than 4 or 5 pitches, which really drove up his pitch count. Gerrit Cole ended with...
the Yankees were being no-hit for a little bit as well, so good pitching on our side, but... Yankees offense just could not click. You know, it's so frustrating when the Yankees offense does that, you know, but Cole was matching 0 for 0, so it wasn't that big a deal, but it was frustrating to be no hit through 5 innings. Can you imagine being no hit through 5 innings, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, that was rough. But Gerrit Cole, after he got through his 6th inning, and he was at 9 strikeouts, no earned runs, 4 hits. He was looking really good. He had 104 pitches, I think. So everyone thought that was going to be it for him. I mean, I think everyone on the planet thought that was it. But the Yankees go and send him back out there, which is understandable based on the fact, like we said, they're playing 23 games in 22 days. Like, some games you're going to need your bullpen to not have to pitch 3 or 4 innings. And this is Gerrit Cole telling Aaron Boone, I'm good to go. Send me back out there. I can get one more inning. And what were your thoughts on that move?
I was shocked that he came out there for the 7th for the exact reason you said. But, like, I liked the move because, you know, it's a doubleheader. You have all these. I know you get an extra guy, which Floreal was the extra guy in this case. So Tim LaCastro was injured. So they brought up Ron Marinaccio, and that makes sense because if you're going to be playing 23 games, you want the extra pitcher. Mm-hmm. And then they brought up Floreal as like that extra player for the doubleheader. So I like the move, sending him out there. you know, if he could get you one more inning, just steal you another inning. And he looked great, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Cole, like, you know, he, you know, had some inconsistencies. But, like, you know, overall, a great pitching performance. You know, he struck out, you know, as many hitters as he did. He struck out 10 through 6. So you feel good about his – or I guess he struck out 9 through 6, right,
mm-hmm.
at that point. And then he struck out the first hitter. And then he just gave up a home run. Felt bad, but it wasn't a bad pitch. I agree with Boone letting him go.
Yeah, and if this is the game where the Yankees scored like they should have, and it's 5-0 at this point, and Gerrit Cole gives up a line drive home run down, like, right down the line that Calhoun just got one, like, that's mm-hmm. fine. We're all like, okay, still a great start by Cole. Like, it's only one run. It's one mm-hmm. home run that, like, sometimes you that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the Yankees only scored one run up to that point, it kind of makes it feel like, oh, like, now it's a tie game in the seventh inning. It makes you feel a lot worse at the moment. Mm-hmm. But, like, looking back at the box score, there's lowered Cole's ERA. He's now at 2.67, 10 strikeouts, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk. Like, it was a good start by Gerrit Cole.
Yep. And that one run that we got was a sac fly by Stanton just to give us the lead in the sixth. So it wasn't like Cole was working with a lead the whole game or even a big lead. You know, that was the first time he got a lead. So it makes sense to pull him. I bet if it was, like, more of a blowout, I could imagine Cole finishing that inning, but, you know, tied 1-1, it's just like, okay, we have our bullpen. They are rested. Let's just go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and Loaizaga did his thing. He got 1.2 innings, no hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Looks like Jonathan Loaizaga mm-hmm. again. And Clay Holmes came in and did his thing, 2 strikeouts. He gave up mm-hmm. a hit, but if I recall that hit, I feel like it was kind of like a cheapy, like, it wasn't like a hard hit ball, if I'm remembering it right.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. It was like a little poke job by Garver, right? It was like a double.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like a double down the line that just barely stayed fair or something. But mm-hmm. I can't quite remember. It doesn't really matter. Because he got out of the inning, didn't give up a run. And then the bottom of the ninth, Gleyber Torres comes up to bat. And just like Gleyber always seems to do, he had a walk-off last year on Mother's Day. He hits a home run to the opposite field. Gleyber's leading the league in walk-off hits since 2018. Like, you can say all you want about how he has been mm-hmm. as a player, but if anything, you can't deny that he's like a clutch player. People argue the clutch gene, but Gleyber Torres clearly seems to come up big in big situations.
Yeah, he certainly has. You know, a couple of them were kind of fluky, where it's kind of like a flinging bunt that he had to walk off a couple mm-hmm. times. But, you know, whenever we need it, he has come through. So that's something. And he looks like his approach has changed, right? Like, he doesn't look like the same player he was. Like, maybe his stats don't back it up quite yet, but, like, I feel mm-hmm. the last week, 2 weeks, something feels different about his approach and the way he's going about at bat to at bat.
Yeah, I mean, after this game, he was at a 729 OPS, which isn't that good, but, like, mm-hmm. after what he has been at and has been at for the last mm-hmm. 2 years, like, that's a good improvement. And this game is just, mm-hmm. like, exactly what Gleyber is. Instead of flying open and getting on his front foot and trying to pull everything and, like, selling out for the pull, he's hitting the pitches that he's given, and that results mm-hmm. in a lot of opposite field. Like, he's going to get those occasional opposite field home runs.
Mm-hmm. And so just the way the, like, whole offense has been around the league, 729 really isn't, like, that much to sneeze at, because that is still above, like, last year he was below average. Like, if you look at OPS plus, now he is above average.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's just a 729, it's not, like, you know, that big a deal, but, you know, offense across the league is down, so that does make you better than average.
Yeah, and I think it's also real important to mention that I don't know if this is still the case. I think going into this game, though, he was tied for the American League lead in defensive runs saved. And he's, like, above average now. It's above average. He's good defensively this year. Like, it's not like
he the looks past... good defensively, too. Because if you looked at his stats at shortstop, like, it did say he was above average, but he just didn't pass the eye test.
What stats said he was above average?
There was stats that said he was, because I remember talking to it with Arthur, and I brought up a stat, and it showed him as ranging as average, actually above average. And it was just crazy to me that's true. It's like, I think it had more to do with the way he was positioned. So he was able to get to a lot of outs just because the way they positioned him. But you did not feel good about him ranging and throwing the ball.
I think there might have been like UZR or something. Like, there was a stat that said he was above average, but his outs above average, according to Baseball Savant, last year was the first percentile, so the worst you can be. And his DRS was really bad. Like, he might have had one stat that said he was good. But this year, he's in the 84th percentile right now of outs above average. He's tied for the American League lead in defensive runs saved. Like, he's actually a good second baseman this year. Like, there's no, oh, he's, like, fine at second base if his bat's good. Like, he's serviceable. Like, no, he's actually a good second baseman. And on top of that, his average exit velocity this year is 89th percentile, expected batting average 89th, expected slugging 92nd, barrel percentage 57. Those are all significantly higher than last year. Like, his exit velocity last year is 15th percentile. He went from 15th to 89th. Like, wow. Glaber is completely turning it around. His chase rate last year is 83%, and this year it's... Oh, wait. He chased a lot less last year and walked more last year. But, I mean, I'll take his offense this year over last year any day of the week, and his defense has been great. So...
Yeah. Yep. He looks like a different player this year, so glad he's, you know, improving. That's what you like to see.
Yeah.
So, got us game one. You feel good going about game two. Was there anything of note about that home run?
Yeah, so the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward, who famously, I think in like a ridiculous amount of, like a good amount of plate appearances in his career, he only had like very few home runs at Yankee Stadium, if any. But he said, when asked about the Gleyber Torres home run, that at 99% of other ballparks, that's an easy out. And he called Yankee Stadium a Little League stadium, which, I mean, you can make that argument against, like, one of Rizzo's home runs this year was, like, just barely, like, plopped in over the wall.
The short porch,
only a home run there. But Glaber's home run was 360-something feet and was a home run at 26 of 30 ballparks. So, like, Cole Calhoun's home run was shorter than Glaber's was.
Yeah, and that was the home run to tie it 1-1. Yeah. So if you want to talk, you know, there wouldn't even be an extra innings game without you hitting a home run. But that's such a dumb argument. Like, I get, like, people like to dunk on Yankee Stadiums, like, oh, it's a Little League ballpark. But, like, you guys both play there. Like, you both need to do it.
Yeah, and that so on top of the fact that Yankee Stadium always ranks like in the middle of park factors. Like, it's not a hitter-friendly ballpark. It's neutral. Like, yeah, they have the short porch, but then everywhere else is like deeper than your average ballpark. So,
it favors lefties for sure, but that's why, you know, lefties like hitting at Yankee Stadium. But it's like, it's not Coors Field or anything.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I still wouldn't be like, oh, it's Coors Field. Like, I discount what you did there. Like, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone discounts people that have good numbers at Coors.
Well, but yeah, DJ, they discounted DJ, discounted Trevor Story, which.
I mean, too bad for the Red Sox. Right, that but looks I think like he's one more of the injured. Only ones that. You think he's injured?
I think so. I think, I don't want to get too much into it, but I'm sure he had to pass the physical and everything, but he just, I don't know. I don't think he's fully right.
I think he's just pressing and is putting too much pressure on himself.
I'm sure that's also playing into it as well, but yeah.
Yeah. So in game two.
So game one, we got it. Yeah. So, sorry. Yeah, so we got game one. You feel good about heading into game two. Mm-hmm. We have Monty starting for us. And, you know, the pitching matchup, we should be able to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, and Monty pitched really well through five innings. Mm-hmm. He only gave up a couple hits. He struck out five. Mm-hmm. Didn't give up any runs through five. Mm-hmm. And then pitched the sixth. He gave up a very, like, an actual porch job in the sixth mm-hmm. inning solo home run by Eli White, I think is his name. And that was, like, the definition of a porch job. That was, I'm pretty sure that was a home run. That was only a home run at Yankee Stadium. And, like, that sucked, but we were up 2-1 at that point off of a mm-hmm. Stanton 2-run home run. That one was 460 feet. I don't think there's no doubt. And this was, like, good to see. Stanton the whole series before this had been, like, just barely missing and, like, just flying mm-hmm. out, deep flyouts. But this one, off the bat, he knew it was gone. And put us up 2-0.
That was off of Glenn Otto, mm-hmm. who was a former, you know, Yankee prospect. That was who we traded for Joey Gallo. So Gallo was not in the lineup for game two, which was kind of disappointing. You know, you kind of want to see the guy you were traded for. You know, you want to pitch against him and be like, oh, this is what you guys missed out on.
And another,
but we didn't get that matchup.
Another fun thing in game one, the walk-off home run was hit off John King, which was who we were going mm-hmm. to originally get from the Rangers, but instead we got Joely Rodriguez. So that's another fun little tidbit. But yeah, I mean, Glenn Otto pitched pretty well. He only gave up two hits.
Just a nice little link there.
And two earned runs. But then... But
yeah, so Monty gives up a run in the sixth. It's 2-1, and then what happens in the seventh, Rand?
So Monty comes back out, and I believe he gave up, like, if I recall, it was a, this was the one that I think was a double, something had, like, they hit it, like, down the line, and it was, like, it wasn't a hard hit ball, and Monty was at 71 pitches, I believe, at that point, and Garrett Cole decided to take it, or not Garrett Cole, Aaron Boone decided to take him out of the game, and I mean, I was texting to Tinder when this happened. I was upset about this. Like, he didn't get hit hard, and this was only the fourth hit he had given up in the game, and he was at 71 pitches. Like, just like we said about Garrett Cole, you're playing so many games. Like, you got to let your starters go sometimes. But he didn't. Like, he went to Mike King, so, like, you kind of expect, okay, King's going to get through this. Like, we're going to have the lead still. Everything's going to be fine. But it was just one of those days for King. Oh, Jatin, you're on mute.
Weird. He's looked so good. And like you said, like, this situation, I would not have brought out King. I would have just left Monty to finish the inning just because he looked so strong. Like, he wasn't being hit hard. So let him go another inning. His pitch count was low. He could have went another inning. Honestly, could have went another inning after that if they really needed it. But, you know, going to King is not a bad decision. You know, King has been awesome. He's been lights out. I feel confident that he will be able to get us there. But I was texting Ryan. I was like, just the way it is, because Monty left the runner out there, that runner is going to score. And he won't be eligible for a win.
Yep, and later on in the inning, the runner ended up on third. Mike King threw the ball away. The runner scored. So there goes the Monty's chance at a win. And then right after that, Mike King gives up a two-run home run, which, like, he gave up runs for the first time in what feels like forever. And it sucked. Like, no one's perfect all of the time. Like, King is going to give up runs throughout the season. He's, like, got a 1.4 ERA still. So, like,
yeah,
he's still having a great season. But it sucked because now it's 4-2 in the seventh inning, and the offense just hasn't been clicking at all this series.
All day they haven't, you know, been doing much. You know, that they, that was only their fourth run through two games, right? So it just felt bad. I don't think the pitch was that bad of a pitch, you know, and it was to a lefty as well, Brad Miller. He pinched hit right at that point, so it wasn't a terrible pitch. Could have been executed better. Definitely wasn't the location he wanted, but, you know, he just took him deep, gave the Rangers a lead. Felt bad, but, you know, with how much King has done, you feel like you just want the offense to come through and just pull him out, just because he's done so much for the Yankees. You know, now it's their turn to, like, bail him out.
Yeah, exactly. And that didn't quite happen. Was this the game that Boone got thrown out?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I can't remember if it was this game or the first game.
Yeah. It has to be this game, right? Because at right? I can't remember. I honestly don't remember.
It must have been this game. Hold on, let me look. I don't know why I can't remember. It doesn't matter. So, in one of these two games, Aaron Boone got thrown out because the umpires just kept calling strikes on Aaron Judge that were below the zone. And there was a big spot that Aaron Judge came up in, and the umpire, the first pitch was just, like, inches inside. And it was just, it was a bad call. And then he got rung up on another pitch, or I can't. It was just bad calls all game in a lot of big situations for Aaron Judge. And, like, the offense just stalled out the rest of this game. Like, there were some small chances throughout the game, but they only had three hits. Like, it just wasn't a very good game by the offense at all. So, yeah, like, they didn't score. And
it wasn't... It also wasn't too concerning too, because I'm not too concerned about the offense, because Sunday was a miserable just conditions. Like, it was windy. Like, there was a couple shots that, you know, if it wasn't blowing in and it was like, it could have been a home run, it just ended up being fly outs. Like, this is nothing that I'm like concerned about. It's like, oh no, the Yankees only scored two runs both games. Like, I'm not concerned about the offense. You know, it was just miserable conditions, you know, after, you know, being rained 2 days in a row, you know, it just wasn't the best conditions to be playing.
Yeah, and it was a doubleheader. Like, they had the offense in general for these two games had everything working against it. Not like the Yankees offense, just offense as a whole by both teams. So yeah, that we lose that game, and then, like, game three kind of feels like a must win. It's obviously not like a, oh, you lose, your season's over, but it's one of those things, like, you can't lose a series to the Texas Rangers if you want to go
We deep. Framed it as we needed to win two out of three, potentially sweep.
Yeah.
Right? With the Rangers, like, that's, you have to win the series. You know, the good teams beat these type of teams. You should win the series, take advantage of facing a weaker team.
Yeah, exactly. So we go into game three. We have Nestor on the bump versus John Gray. John Gray going into this game had like a mid-7s ERA, so you already knew it was going to be a pitcher's duel.
One thing I want to note, so the Rangers, King lost it for the Rangers in game one, and then in game two, Michael King took the loss. So you got to see two Kings take the loss on a doubleheader. You know, just kind of weird. Just wanted to make note of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, so, this game, I mean, Nestor's just... The legend of Nestor grew in this one. he took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. He threw 103 pitches, which is his career high. So Nestor's just the full-fledged starter now. Like, there's no holding him to a short leash or anything. Yeah. He ends the day with 7.1 innings pitched, one hit, four walks, 11 strikeouts, no runs. It just like... Oh. Wait, hold on. What the heck just happened? You can go.
It just goes that, like, he's not a fluke at this point, right? Like, he's looking more and more legit. Like, you see these performances, you can't just say it's just luck at this point. I think he is just a good pitcher. He's doing things, you know, he has his different pitches, he has his different, you know, deliveries, kind of gets the hitters off balance. He has a rhythm, he's sticking to it, and, you know, it's just awesome to see. You know, I was rooting for him. He could have gotten it, you know, like he if he had a no-hitter going into the ninth, you think the Yankees send him?
I think it depends on how many pitches. Yeah, I was thinking if he was under 105, I think Boone would send him out there and be like, if you give up a base runner, like, I'm taking you out. But he ended up giving up a bloop single to Eli White. It wasn't a hard hit ball. It was a good pitch.
Honestly, I bet Boone is thinking, thank God he gave up a hit, because, I mean, the Yankees, it's tied 0-0, so maybe not that dramatic. Yeah. But, you know, he's just like, it makes my decision so much more easier to go to the bullpen. Because imagine a guy's pitching a no-hitter for 8 innings.
Yeah.
And then you bring in a reliever for the ninth, even though it makes sense. Like, even if he's throwing 105 pitches, you know, it probably makes sense to be like, hey, call it a night, you know, you pitched a lot, but, you know, it just made it so much more easier now that he gave up a hit. But, and the Yankees have a really good bullpen to follow him, so it's not like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Although exactly. I really wanted a no-hitter.
Yeah, but what does suck for Nestor is Clay Holmes finished the inning. The Yankees, at this point, going into the bottom of the eighth, had not scored a run, so Nestor then is not eligible for the win. Which is something that's, like, just so messed up with wins for pitchers in baseball, because
Nestor doesn't have a win yet.
Yeah, and Nestor pitched 7.1 innings of one-hit baseball and didn't give up a run and doesn't get the win because they scored after he came out. Yeah. But Clay Holmes threw 4 pitches and gets the win. Like, it's yeah, funny like that.
Is not the barometer for a good pitcher.
Yeah, and in the eighth inning, the Yankees finally get a run on the board after Judge fights off a single through the third base and shortstop, and then Rizzo gets a pretty well hit double that falls in between the center fielder and the left fielder, and Judge just hustles his way first to home, which was, I didn't think he was going to score when Rizzo, like, where that ball landed. I was like, okay, Judge is going to end on third.
Same.
And then they sent him, and I was like, oh, he's definitely going to be out by a mile, but he was safe. And it came out to, like, later.
The throw was offline, but even if it was, like, right on the money, I think Judge would have beaten it out. But, yeah, it was just a weird – the way the double landed, like, it just looked like it would just be a man on second and third, and there would be no reason for him to be scoring.
Yeah, and I think that's a play where the turn from whoever fielded, like, the third base – or the shortstop, I think, it wasn't a well-handled relay. And then the throw is a little offline. Like, if it was a perfect relay with a good throw, Judge probably would have been out. But it came out later that Judge, his sprint speed was 28.3 or something like that, which is, like, above average. That's a pretty good sprint speed. So it's just funny that at 6'7", Judge can run quite well.
You think it's just stride, you know? You're also like, he has such long strides, you could get there quicker, but he was also moving quick.
Yeah. But yeah, so that double by Rizzo puts us up 1-0. And, dude, we didn't score again that inning. We come into the top of the ninth. Chapman comes in. This is his first time pitching in, like, 7 days, I think. So we're in for the who knows what's about to happen. And
I think Monday was his last game, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
At that point?
That does sound right. But yeah, so it ended up being Adolis Garcia flied out to Aaron Judge, and when that was hit, I was like, that might be a home run. And it got Aaron Judge pretty close to the wall. He ended up catching it. Corey Seager had a pretty lazy fly out to Hicks, but then Jonah Heim singled, so the winning run is up to bat in Nick Solak. And the second Nick Solak hit the ball, it was like a hanging slider, if I recall. I was like, oh, like that ball's gone. But for whatever reason in baseball this year, things that look like they're home runs never are. And it was like an easy fly out to Joey Gallo. And we won the game. Aroldis Chapman still hasn't given up a run this year.
So the last time he pitched at that point was on Sunday. So more than a week ago. So you never know how he's going to come out. So, yeah, it was nice to see Chapman get the save. You know, could have been worse. You know, there was a couple balls that, you know, I definitely thought were out. But
yeah,
we survived. We win 1-0. We win the series, you know, and now we face the Blue Jays for a quick 2-game series.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be a very exciting series. I mean, we definitely obviously have the potential to win both games. And if we do, that's a pretty big step. That's going to give us a pretty big cushion, because the Blue Jays just lost 3 out of 4 to the Indians, I believe. Either Guardians. 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. Yeah, to the Guardians. So we already gained a few games
from that. It was 3 out of 4.
Yeah. So that's like, that's big. Mm-hmm. They lost to a bad team. So what does that make them? They're, what are they, 17-13 right now? So, like, they're treading water. Like, they're not under 500. But if they lose both games to us, they're now 17-15. And we're 22-8. So we've got 7-game lead.
Anytime you can win a game against a division rival, you know, that's big, because that's, you know, like you said, just more cushion for you, more margin for error. And then you just, you know, you make them feel bad, you know. And I think we have the pitchers that the Blue Jays have coming up for this next series. They're guys that I feel better about hitting against. You know, it's Kikuchi and Berríos. You know, I know Berríos has good stuff, you know, but the Yankees do kind of hit him a little. So, and he does have tendencies to get hit around sometimes, so hopefully it's one of those times.
Yeah, and Kikuchi seems to do good against us, and then do bad, and then do good, then do bad. And last start he did pretty good, so I'm expecting him to do pretty bad. And we have Seve and Tyone going, which Seve has been our worst starter this year at a 3.75 ERA. Everyone else is under 3, but I feel confident with Seve going. Designate him for assignment.
That's ridiculous. 3.75. That's it really does show you how good the Yankees rotation is.
Yeah.
And coming in, I thought we had a good rotation, and so far they've lived up to the even more, because, you know, I understand the question marks. I just thought, you know, I think we had a good team. It was always just health. You know, that was my biggest thing, is that, I mean, can they stay healthy?
Yeah, I didn't expect all 5 starters to do this well. I figured at least one of them would be like a little iffy, but all 5 of them have been good. And Berríos and Kikuchi both have over 4 ERAs. So we definitely have the pitching advantage in this. Our offense has been playing better. Our bullpen is better. We have pretty much every advantage over the Blue Jays. Like, this is set, and it's home. So it's set up for a 2-game sweep. Obviously, 1-1 would be, that's okay. They don't gain any ground in the standings. We're 21-9 coming out of that. We just can't lose both. Like, I'm okay with a split. I'm happy with the sweep. I'm really upset if we get swept.
Yeah. I mean, even getting swapped is not the end of the world, but it's really does suck and kind of it's a momentum killer, you know?
Yeah.
So keep the momentum going. These are the series you need to win, even though it's a two-game series. So, like, ideally, we can sweep them.
Yeah, the Yankees
We'll see.
The Yankees have won every single series since the Orioles series. So let's just keep that trend going. Obviously, in a two-game set, you have to win the series.
We
you have to
sweep had our
it.
Win streak broken, and then the Yankees were like, we can't keep losing. You know, the highest we could lose is one game in a row. No more than that.
The rest of the year. Just play 667 baseball for the rest of the year.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's a lot, most of what we want to talk about. And then Jatinder did want to mention that the Texas hitting coach, what was his name again?
Tim Hires.
Tim Hires.
He was the hitting coach for the Red Sox, and he kind of came with. Came with a reputation that he helps hitter. Like, we didn't see it this series for the Rangers, but you know, he came in 2018, helped the Red Sox hitters. They obviously won the World Series. Like, they looked like they went hit well with him. Is that coincidence? Did he help them? I don't know. But you see what the Red Sox are doing now this year, and you know, it's kind of eye-opening. He was a guy that I had my eye out when the Yankees had that open hitting spot. So, so we'll see. Just wanted to just mention that, you know, the Red Sox have not been good, and let's keep it that way.
Yeah, it's fun to watch the Red Sox do as bad as they have been. They're in last place. They're not like the fake last place of being in fourth, and just the Orioles are the presumptive last place team. They're actually behind the Orioles.
Yeah.
I don't expect that to be like how the season
two games
ends.
Behind.
Yeah. I don't expect that to be how the season ends. That would be the best thing ever, but I don't see the Red Sox making the playoffs. I mean, like, we're actually in the season now. Like, this isn't like, oh, we're 2 weeks into the season, like, no big deal. Like, we're over a month into the season, and they're still, like, they're well below 500.
Yeah, they need to get on a winning streak to even get to 500. But, yeah, bad times for Boston, good times for the Yankees. It's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of all we had for today. We're looking forward to the Blue Jays series. We'll do our best to record after game two on Wednesday. Look forward to that. As always, if you enjoy the episode, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. Or if you are on YouTube, leave a like, rating, and comment or subscribe. And check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. So it was a good episode. The Yankees are still winning. Let's keep it rolling. And as always, let's go Yanks.
Let's play ball. Let's sweep the Blue Jays.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys.